Well, again, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Living Beyond Limits. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. I'm so glad that you have joined us here on this Easter Sunday morning to celebrate and to be together. So we're going to start our service today by reading our vision statement that's on the front of your bulletin. So I invite you to join me in reading that. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. And so that's exactly what we are doing here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are giving ourselves the opportunity to move back into that place within ourselves that knows that that life of spirit lives within us, that that one power and that one presence, that one life, that one energy, that one love is innate to our beingness because it is the very essence of our spirit. We come from God and we come as an individualized expression of that one. And what that means then is that love and peace and wholeness and our innate power, all of those things are an aspect of our spiritual being. And what happens then is as we come to recognize that spirit is within us and all of those qualities of spirit are within us, that then when we are out in the world and the world is not reflecting back to us, say, love or peace or kindness, we aren't as reliant on the world reflecting that to us, because when we find ourselves in that kind of situation, we can tap into it within ourselves. We can tap into the love or into the peace, and therefore we are able to bring it into the conversation, into the relationship. And not only does it transform our experience, but it also transforms the relationship and the circumstance. And as we do that, as we bring spirit forward from within us, we are actually participating in our own spiritual evolution, as well as the collective evolution of humanity, because we are all connected. We are all part of this whole and all part of this one. And so as we bring spirit forward, we are actually supporting humanity in discovering that within themselves and that as this thing we call life. And so I thank every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be bringing that divine presence into this world in a way that is beneficial to everyone. Thank you for that. And so on podium with me this morning is our practitioner, Barbara Conant. She's going to lead us in an evocation and do a contemplative reading for us. And Stacy Robbins and family are here with us. They're going to lead us in singing the prayer chant, I Open Up. The words will be on the wall. And I invite you to either sing along or to just close your eyes and listen and to allow that song to help you find your center and to find that place of stillness within you. And so as we begin, I invite you just to kind of settle in, to slow down, and to move inward.
This moment. And so moving within and taking this moment in time, I align my thinking to my greater self and look within. And here I find a sense of love that is always right where I am. There is a feeling of the all good of life, which is always present, and it is in and through everything. I recognize an inner presence and know it is the Christ Self that is in me and in everyone. This Christ Self is our spiritual identity and the truth of who we really are. And at every Easter, we have an opportunity to use its symbolism to open our consciousness, to expand, to experience a new life, a rebirth as we step into the goodness that brings greater light, love, and goodwill more fully into our actions, our thoughts, and our hearts. A new awakening that helps us to let go of old thought patterns and to embrace and experience a new life. And today I bless this congregation and our time together as we celebrate the light and love within every person on this sacred day. I bless Reverend Jennifer and her words of healing that inspire and uplift our minds and hearts. I bless the Robbins family and the joy their music invokes within everyone. I bless Living Beyond Limits and all spiritual paths and all people throughout the world. And so it is. Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning.
My reading today is from Reverend Galen McDowell. Easter is a story about the overcoming power of God and an individual life. Easter is a reminder that we have within us the power to overcome any obstacle in our way. It is the power to heal our bodies through prayer and spiritual practices. It is the power to forgive and move on from past mistakes and hurts. Easter reminds us that we are connected to the source of good. The resurrection represents our power to overcome, to restore, to renew with health, peace, love, prosperity, and joy, whatever we are trying to revive. God is within every person as the Christ, God's idea of humanity itself. The Christ, or the I Am, is the fullness of God, expressing individually as every human being. Therefore, the Christ in you has never been sick, broken, or unhappy. The Christ in you is your true spiritual wholeness that transcends your mental and physical natures. You can proclaim your spiritual wholeness in the midst of any storm when you understand that God in you can never be kept in the tomb of fear, despair, lack, sickness, and doubt. You have the ability to succeed, the authority to prosper. You command the life and intelligence in every cell in your body. You have dominion over the challenges of life. You have supremacy over your own thoughts and feelings. You can release the past and transform your life right now. But you must be willing to get out of your own way and let God lead. And so it is.
Lovely, lovely. Yeah, so happy Easter, everybody. So the title of my talk today is Self-Rising. And I'm talking about the symbolism of the Easter story and how it applies to our lives today. And so the Easter story is a story about the human giving way to the divine. It's a story about rising above the limitations of this world and leaving all that is limited behind. The symbolism of Jesus rising out of the tomb transfigured is symbolism for him rising out of this world of limitation and struggle and suffering and instead rising into a heavenly realm. An eternal realm, a realm of freedom and of liberation and of boundlessness. That story of rebirth has been told throughout eons of time, long before Jesus arrived on the scene. And during pagan times, this exact same time of year, this spring equinox was celebrated. Easter was actually placed over the top of that date so that they coincided with each other. And so during pagan times, the goddess Oster, from where the word Easter comes from, she is the goddess that brings the dawn and new beginnings and baby animals and the spring. She is the goddess of beginnings, new beginnings, and renewal and rebirth after the darkness and the seeming death of winter. Her symbol is the rabbit. And the rabbit is a symbol of fertility and new life and being pregnant with possibility. The pagans during those times of old also colored eggs at the time in bright colors and in gold to represent new life and the return of the sun at the spring equinox. And so today at Easter, we have an amalgamation of those two things. We have Easter bunnies and eggs and chicks, and thank goodness, chocolate Easter bunnies and chocolate eggs. Exactly. And we have the celebration of Jesus. Celebration of Jesus rising out of that tomb transfigured, which tells us that the light and the life of God are experienced and expressed within us, as us. That presence within us, that light and life of God within us, is eternal. It is indestructible. It is changeless. That divine nature within us is eternal, not just for Jesus, but for all of us. And he proved to the world that that light within us, that life of God, is eternal. And so the Easter story says that Jesus was executed by crucifixion, which was common at the time, how they punished criminals. And his body was taken down from the cross, but there wasn't enough time to bury him because Friday at sundown, he was hung on Friday, the Sabbath starts. And during the Sabbath, it is a time of rest, and it is against the law to work. You're not allowed to do anything that looks like work. So he was taken down and wrapped in white linen and placed in a cave so that they could wait until after the Sabbath was over to bury him properly. So they put him in the cave and rolled a big heavy stone over the entrance of the cave so that nobody would go in and steal his body. So after the Sabbath on Monday at Sunday, because it goes from Friday night at sundown till Saturday night at sundown, so Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and another Mary showed up to tend to his body, to anoint him so that he would be ready for burial, to find that the stone had been rolled away by an angel, and an angel was sitting on top of the rock that had been rolled away and said, "Jesus is not here, for he has risen. He is alive again." And so they were shocked and dismayed, and the angel told them, the women, "Go tell his disciples." And as they left, Jesus appeared to them. Sure enough, they saw him in form, fell to his feet in joy and in gratitude, and he told them, "Go tell my disciples that I will meet them in Galilee." So that is the Easter story as we know it. And that story is a symbolism that to remind us that the material world does not have ultimate power over us, that the material world is not the ultimate authority, that the material world is not ultimate reality. It reminds us that there is something within us, a capital S something within us, that is greater and more powerful and more real than anything that appears in this physical world or that anything that appears in our experience. It tells us that the things that we see and the things that we experience are little R reality. They aren't capital R reality. They're a relative reality, not the ultimate truth and ultimate reality. So the Easter story reminds us that spirit and our spirit is greater than the material realm. It is greater than any physical limit that we experience in this world. For God and the life of God is the life within us. It is who and what we are, the life of God here in form while we are in this material world. The Easter story reminds us that we are never stuck in whatever happens to be happening in our life here, that it is not the final. It is not the end. It is not all there is to the story. Instead, that there is a power within us that can rise above any concern that we are having, any incomplete perception which means a perception of our ego, that there is something greater than how our ego perceives things. And it isn't to deny our experiences. It isn't to say that we're not feeling what we're feeling and doing what we're doing and having that kind of experience. But it's telling us that there is more than what our human eyes tell us. There is more than what our ego tells us is happening. It tells us, Easter, that we can stand in our own spiritual authority, knowing that within us there is something greater. There is a greater creativity. There is a greater wisdom. There is a greater wholeness and a greater love, a greater peace. And that is the life of God within us. Marianne Williamson said, "The resurrection is a description of how the universe self-corrects. Life always reasserting itself, even when forces of death and darkness have temporarily prevailed. Like a tiny flower growing through the cracks in broken cement, peace of mind emerging long last after periods of deep grief, of people continuing to fall in love despite the ravages of war. Love always gets the final say. To lean on the resurrection is simply to recognize what's true. That if happiness has not yet arrived, then the story isn't over. The problem is that we believe that this material world is ultimate reality. We believe that it has the final say. We believe that this world is solid and static and real, and that it somehow has power over us. We lose sight of the capital T truth, that the infinite lives within us, that the infinite is our spiritual nature, that the infinite fills all things. For it is the essential nature of everyone, including us. We forget that first off, we are spiritual beings. And that it is only secondly that we are personality, that we are ego. We say things like, I am a hairdresser, or I am a computer program, or I am a husband, or a wife, or a parent, or I am human. But first and foremost, we are spirit. And spiritual beings, but we forget that because we identify so much with this human experience. Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, said, "Turn to me and you shall be made free. Be still and know that I am is your real self." Joel Goldsmith said, "I in the midst of me is God, infinite, omnipresent, omniscient, the only power. There is no power besides the I that I am. That I that I am is immortal and eternal. Because of my oneness with the Father, my oneness with the I that I am, all the intelligence, all the wisdom, all the life, all the spirituality, all the power, all the good, and all the grace of God are embodied within me." That's what Jesus rising out of the tomb reminds us. I am the presence of spirit within us, our spiritual identity. And I know that as human beings living this very human life, we want to know that we aren't limited. We want to know that we are supported by life to live deeply satisfying lives, to live deeply fulfilling lives. We want to know that we are supported in thriving and in flourishing. And you are. One of the things that enables us to discover that we are actually supported by life itself, to thrive and flourish and live deeply satisfying lives, is actually to discover the power within us. It's to discover our own wholeness, to discover our own creative nature, to discover the limitlessness that lives within us. For as we discover that within us, we feel supported in thriving and flourishing and growing and unfolding. Makes me think of the first time that I ever delivered a sermon. And some of you have probably heard this story. I was a practitioner at church in Cyprus, and it was the Christmas candlelighting service. So it was a packed house at nighttime, and my minister was going to deliver the sermon and got laryngitis that day. And so she called me a couple hours beforehand and asked me if I would deliver her sermon. Can you imagine how nervous I was? And so I get there to the packed house, and everyone's really dressed up, and it's Christmas, and it's decorated, and it's really fun, and I'm sitting in the front row waiting for my turn, and I was like shaking. I was so nervous. And I start telling myself, I can do this. I can do this over and over. I can do this. I have what it takes to do this and more. I can do this and greater things than these. And when it was my turn to get up, I was not nervous one single bit. And I delivered the sermon and had a good time doing it, and it went wonderfully. I know that every one of us in this room have had so many experiences like that, where we think we aren't capable of something, and somehow life forces us to discover that, yes, indeed, we were capable all along. We just didn't know it yet. And doesn't that, when you discover those things, I know that we've had those experiences in our lives over and over and over again. Does that not let you know that you are supported in flourishing, that you are supported in unfolding, that you are supported in living your best life? Because each one of those things that we have overcome, we've grown and we've expanded. We're living a fuller life every time that happens. We're living a more deeply satisfying life every time one of those things happens. As spiritual beings, we are here to discover our own untapped potential. We are here to discover it and to uncover that potential and to know that it is who we are. We are here to unfold our own greater yet to be. For life has an irresistible urge to expand. And it expands through us when we let go of the lesser and say yes to whatever the greater is that is calling our name, that is calling us to self-discovery. It's a need we have inside of ourselves to grow like that, to discover our untapped potential, to discover our own greater yet to be. That's why when we feel stuck, it feels so dissatisfying. It feels so frustrating. It feels so uncomfortable because there's that inside of us that is seeking to come forward, that is seeking to be discovered and uncovered. Sometimes when we're stuck in that place yet and we haven't yet discovered it, it can kind of feel like we're in a cave of darkness with the stone rolled across the front so no light's coming in. And so there's actually two pieces of the Easter story that I want to bring to light and to talk about. And one is that when Mary Magdalene arrived at the temple, the stone had been rolled away, and there was an angel sitting upon the stone. And the angel was the thing that had rolled away that stone. It was said that that angel was as bright as lightning. That means that it was light. And light represents the wisdom of God, the intelligence of God. And that it was an angel with wings represents the omnipresence of that wisdom. So that angel represents the omnipresence of spiritual truth, of God thought, of illumined thought. That is what was able to roll away the stone. That is what was able to bring light into that dark tomb. So when we feel stuck, we are being called to look through those eyes illumined eyes, to look through God mind, to look through the eyes of spiritual truth, to have a higher knowing rather than what our ego perceives to be real and true in the world. It's an invitation to God thought that you all know lives within you when you get quiet enough to hear it. When we are stuck, we're called to look through those eyes so that we might rise above whatever it is that we are experiencing, so that we might discover a new way or a new solution or the answer to our question, the answer to the problem. You know, one of my favorite stories is one time we were doing a Tazay service when we were at Lakewood Country Club. And if you don't know what that is, it's a whole service of music and meditation. A song, and you let it kind of take you deeper, and then a meditation and a reading and another song and another reading. And the whole service is meditation. And afterwards, one of our congregants at the time, Barbara Zunich, who has moved to Arizona now, says to me, "I hate meditating." She was so funny. She's kind of like that. "I hate meditating." She goes, "But you know what? As I sat there, it occurred to me I was having a problem with this woman that I'm in a club with, and the answer came to me of how to solve the problem." Exactly. You know, my minister, Diane Borsakowski, used to say, meditate. It's like eating your vegetables. Even if you don't like them, eat them anyway. They're good for you. She used to say that all the time. We have to have that space in order to comprehend that higher knowing. We have to have the quietness of our mind. And so it takes space and quiet and getting out of our own human mind chatter. It takes getting away from the opinions of other people. It takes getting away from the world and all that it's telling us. It takes that disconnection and being quiet to obtain that illumination, just like being in the cave. It takes disconnecting from the world, going in and listening for that answer, so that the light of the divine wisdom of the angel can come to us. And the second piece that I wanted to talk about is that Mary Magdalene was the one that saw Jesus. That after she left the cave, that she saw Jesus and she was overjoyed. She went and told, she was told to go tell my disciples that I'm alive. She went to tell them and they didn't believe her. There were many men who saw Jesus traveling on the road that he always traveled and talked to him and didn't recognize him. He went to his own disciples in the room where they met, and they didn't recognize him and know that it was him. The symbolism of that, to me, is it's the feminine aspect of us that we all have that enables us to decipher spiritual truth, that enables us to decipher that illuminated wisdom, the light of God. It's not the masculine part of ourselves. We all have feminine and masculine aspects of ourselves. It's the feminine, which is the intuitive, feeling nature, the listening, the receptive, the inward. That's the feminine part of ourselves. It's not your rational mind that discovers the spiritual answers or the spiritual insight. It's not your ego or the aspect of you that is ego. It's not the part of you that is about doing. It's the part of you that's about being that discovers those spiritual answers and the higher truth, the illumination, and the way forward out of whatever you're feeling stuck in. But we must be in a listening and a receptive mode to receive that spiritual insight. And so I invite you to use Easter as an invitation to remember that when you feel stuck in anything that's going on in your life, in any dis-ease, to know that at that moment you are only identifying with your human self. You are only identifying with the limited ego part of yourself and not your spirit. You are identifying with personality, with ego and that material self. You are, if you feel stuck, you are believing that you are only human, that this world is ultimate reality instead of the truth that spirit is ultimate reality. God is the ultimate reality. The omnipresence of God in and through and around everything is the truth. Let Easter be a reminder to you that the I within you is the I am presence. That it is boundless and eternal and indestructible. That I am presence within you contains all wisdom and all knowledge, all potential. That is the ultimate reality. And so take your troubles into the quiet of the cave and let them go in that quiet and listen and be open and be receptive. But it requires that you rise above them, that you rise above your mind chatter of how terrible it is and what's going wrong and why you can't do this and why you can't have this. You have to rise above it to receive that spiritual insight and light. Listen and intuit that light of the divine. Know that there is always an answer and a solution and a way forward, no matter what the seeming problem is. For you have been created to self-rise. That's what you're made of. And as a result, you will be rising into peace and into freedom and into your best life. And so happy Easter to all of you and happy rising. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we take our attention from this world of form, this world of human living, and we turn our attention instead to that presence of the divine one, that presence of the infinite from which all things have come, recognizing that it is that same power and that same presence that animates and supports all of life. For it is that one presence, literally, that is the energy of life, for it is life itself. And that life of God is the life that is living itself out within each and every single one of us. For that presence is fully formed, is fully here in its allness, in its fullness, right where we are, surrounding us and enveloping us and filling us from within. That one whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere is right here, right now. And so we walk in this presence everywhere we go, in everything that we do. And I know that the light of that divine presence leads us and guides us into pathways that are straight and smooth and satisfying and joy-filled. For it is said that the sure sign of the presence of spirit is the presence of joy. And so today we open our hearts and our minds and allow ourselves to be led for that infinite knowingness. It is its good pleasure to lead us and guide us into our most fulfilling and satisfying lives. And so I recognize that that presence is not only right where we are, but it is where every single person in this world is. And that right now, that infinite one is unfolding itself in the life of each and every person as the exact thing that they need. Unfolding itself as wholeness, which reveals itself in the human body as health and well-being. and a strong sense of self. That it is unfolding itself in the life of all of those who are in want and need. For it is the opulence and that from which all things come. And therefore, the opulence of the divine is right in the center of the life of each person who is in want. For in God, there is no want. There is just the all and fulfillment itself. I speak this word for and about Putin and Zelensky and the people that are involved in war right now. Knowing that there is a higher knowing and a higher wisdom that lives within each of them, and that it is speaking to their hearts, and that it is speaking to their minds. That God is so much bigger than war or two personalities or one huge ego. God is bigger than this. And there is something within that is stirring, for it is the voice of God, the voice of love, the voice of unity and of oneness and of peace and of wholeness. Words of the truth that there is only one family of humanity, for we are all one in God. And that is the truth that lives within each of us and every single one of us. And so I claim and know and see that there is an awakening happening on this planet all over the place of love and of oneness and of unity. And so it is with deep gratitude that I release this word into the infinite law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself right now because it is the truth. And because we have placed our attention on it and said yes to this, we rise above this material world and look to spirit and say yes to that infinite one. And so I release this word in gratitude, and I invite you to join me in saying, and so it is.
And so if you will join me, it's time for our affirmation. Today I use the Easter story as a reminder that I am never stuck. I know that the material world is not the ultimate reality. The I that I am is infinite and boundless. It contains all wisdom and potential. In my knowing the truth, I rise. And so it is.
Of invitations for you as to be a part of and participate in this family. And one is that we have sign-up sheets in the back. We are looking for anybody who is interested in helping us set up. We need one extra person each week to help us set up, people to help us break down. We have a sign-up sheet for coffee, but nobody has really been signing up, I don't think. I'm not sure what's on there. Rebecca, have you looked at it at all? So Rebecca brought coffee last week, and Jan Cole brought coffee this week. So really what I'd like to do is just ask anybody, would you be willing to bring a pot of coffee? And so we have a new class coming up that is called Spiritual Principles and Practices, and it's a 5-week class. It's brand new, and it is about 10 principles of the teachings of the science of mind and spirit and how to apply each one of them. And so there's a sign-up sheet in the back. What it's looking like is that we're going to do it on a Tuesday or a Thursday, probably in the park right here. And so if you can make that and are interested, sign up, and we're going to set a date after we get enough people signed up. I'm planning to start at the end of this month or the beginning of May. So we'd love to have you if you'd like to join us. We are doing a Mother's Day outreach project, which is bringing personal care items for the women of Sukasa, which is a shelter for battered women. If you would like to participate in that, there's a list in the back. It's like shampoo and lotion and body wash and all sorts of things like that. They have to be here by May 1st, but we are collecting them, and then Barbara Conant is going to take them to the shelter. So grab a list in the back if you'd like to participate in that, and then just bring them on Sunday. There's an outdoor service which we had scheduled for Mother's Day, May 8th, and I found out this morning that we aren't allowed to go to the Nature Center and be on their stage. So we're going to do it in the park right here, and we're going to create a really fabulous Mother's Day service where we get to put our feet on Mother Earth and honor Mother Earth and have that kind of a day. So invite your friends if they'd like to, and I think we should have a picnic afterwards for anybody who wants to bring a picnic lunch with them, and we will celebrate. So our Sunday talks are available online. That's what I was going to ask you, too. I'm going to ask you, we are finally what feels to me like settled into something that feels like home. And so what I'm going to invite you all to do is to, we post our talks. You get that email. Forward that to your friends. Marisha, do you post the talks on our Facebook page? So they are also posted on our Facebook page. I'm going to ask every one of you to go on that Facebook page and share the talk that was out this week. That is what we call word of mouth these days, is doing things like Facebook. You can share the blurbs that come out on Friday morning. They are on our Facebook page also. So all you have to do is click share and then share those talks and start inviting people energetically to join us.